Okay, now let's all get our minds on track for a second. Let's take a minute to do 1 John 1:9. That's where we take our confession to the Lord. If we have any sins we haven't spoken to him about, let's take a minute to get our minds focused and be serious and ready to learn about God's word and serious about turning our backs on our sin that we do after salvation, not before. Dear Lord, thank you that you have forgiven us for our sins. You tell us as soon as we confess our sins to you, they are forgiven and gone. And I pray that we will not let anything distract us as we learn your word. Amen.
Amen.
All right. As you know, this class is all about how do you know what you know? Or at least what you think you know. If I can get my thing to work. There we go. All right. Last time we had a big, long review. Everybody remember that? Well, this time we're going to have a short review. And teenagers, I'm going to pick on you. You guys ready to do some answering? All right. Tradasia, the 6 days of creation. Are they really 6,000 years or just 6 days?
6 days.
6 days. Good job. All right. Let's see. Quaterra, did God use creation? Did God use evolution to create anything?
Yeah, no.
No, he did not. That's right. He would have told us in the Bible if he had. He just spoke and things were being. On day one, he created, who knows what he created on day one? Alyssa, do you know what he created on day one? He created light without sun. He created just light. He didn't have to have a sun to produce that light. And does anybody need to move so they're not distracted by anything? All right. On day two, he parted the deep blue. Each day, he did whatever he said that day. He created it just one day. It just took him one day. He created every single animal on the earth on day five, besides the fish and the birds. Every animal. It just took him one day to do it. That's what he said in his Bible, so we believe him. All right. Here's a trick question. Is evolution science or religion? Call it out.
Religion,
that's right. They think it's science, but it's not. Science has to be present. Science has to have eyewitnesses. And science has to be repeatable. Is evolution present? Presently happening?
No.
Is evolution have eyewitness?
No.
No. Is it repeatable?
Yes.
No. That's right. Evolution is not repeatable. So therefore, it's actually religion and not science. Smile, like Imani, because there are only two slides of review questions this time. Last questions. Which two are non-repeatable? Science, history, or belief? History is non-repeatable, and science is repeatable.
Belief.
So science is the only one that's repeatable. All right. Is it up there yet? Which one does not have to have an eyewitness? Which two have to have eyewitnesses, and which one doesn't have to have eyewitnesses?
History and science have to have
eyewitnesses. Belief does not have to have an eyewitness. All right. Which is history, creation or evolution?
Creation.
Good job. Why? Who's our eyewitness that tells us about creation? God. So that's why creation is history and evolution is only belief, because evolution is not in the present, it's not repeatable, and it has no eyewitnesses. All right, last time we went over this really fast. We flew like wild banshees, so we're going to go over a little bit better pace this time and make sure we understand the whole thing. All right, is it logical to believe in evolution, right? If you have logic in your brain, do you have to believe in evolution? Evolutionists out there say, do you have no common sense? Why do you believe in creation? Are you stupid? That's what they like to make us think. They think, if you believe in the Bible, if you believe in creation, something's wrong with you. You have no logic. Well, if evolution is true, then we came from monkeys. So our brains are just evolved monkey brains. So how do we know we're even thinking correctly? Do monkeys think correctly about anything? No. They're nuts. They eat each other's lice. How can anything like that? if we have that brain, if we have that kind of brain, how can we know we think correctly? Like, maybe there's a higher evolved human than we are, and they look at us and they're like, those people still brush their hair? I mean, how do we know? That a lot of people think that there's a higher evolved human out there that came and they never saw themselves evolve, so they planted life on the earth and they wanted to see how we evolve from the primordial ooze up to an ape up to a human. And that's what people believe in. So we're going to learn how to combat those people. All right. Mr. Ricky's favorite subject, though he's not up here right now. Whenever we hear anybody say anything, we have got to learn to ask the question, how do they know that? People tell us things and we swallow it as a truth. And I want you to learn even to question Bible teachers. Question me. If I tell you something, look it up in the Bible yourself and make sure I'm not confused on what I think the Bible says. You can catch that all the time. All right. When we hear the Discovery Channel say a new missing link that proves evolution has been found, we ask, how do they know that? When we read in our science books, this animal has been evolving for millions of years to fine-tune its ability to survive, we ask, how do they know that? Okay, now it'll be you guys' turn. When we hear Elmo say, Elmo is glad dinosaurs have not been around for millions of years, what do we ask? How does he know that? Good job. All right, here's the last one. When we hear Pastor or Miss Kim say, the earth is less than 10,000 years old, everybody together, how do they know that? We have got to learn to ask that about every single thing we hear somebody try to make us believe. We have to learn not to just swallow what people try to hand us. We're on page 10, by the way. How do people know anything? My little eye candy up there for you, flashing head. Okay, people know through personal experience. Raise your hand if you've ever touched something that's burned you. All right, stove, furnace, lighter, candle, whatever it is. I touched a stove once, and I know if you touch a stove, it burns, right? So no one has to tell me that. I've experienced myself. But the five senses can mislead. Some people say, oh, I saw the ghost of my dead grandmother last night with my own two eyes. Well, let me tell you, there are things that can mess with your senses. One of them is drugs. That guy is pretty strung out. So drugs, if you're taking hallucinogenics, you might see your dead grandmother. You might be in a total different reality. I mean, that guy, he could see Elmo talking to him in the room. You know, he could see anything because he's on drugs. Are there other things that mess with our senses? Sleep deprivation messes with our senses. Have you ever seen a new parent with a brand new baby? Yeah. Cassie has seen one. And they stay up nights after night. And I tell you, that'll mess with your senses. I stayed up a couple nights and I watched a scary movie. And it messed with my sense because I have a really good imagination. I was laying there in bed with David, and I had watched a movie about ghosts. I don't believe in ghosts, but all of a sudden I saw this little white face floating in the darkness. So here's David's chest, and I'm like, I was scared out of my mind. I really thought I saw a little face right there. So David's looking down at me like, what are you doing? What's wrong with you? Well, come to find out, my senses were playing tricks on me. I really thought it was a face. What it was, I had my door cracked open, and the nightlight we have in our hall so we don't fall down the stairs was shining through the crack and reflecting off our black, shiny printer. And that circle made me think there was a face. So you cannot always trust your senses. All right, what can we trust? What about people who tell us, oh, I believe that's true because leading authorities say so? Let's see. Mr. Ricky, you want to go sit with the girls? Please and thank you. All right. This method relies on humans. All right. Poinsettias are poisonous. How do I know this? Because a nurse has told me so. A nurse told me poinsettias are poisonous, so I'm never going to go out and eat poinsettia leaves to try to find out if they're poisonous or not. I don't have to do that. People told me Poison oak is poisonous. Am I ever going to go out and touch a poison oak tree? No, I trust them. They told me it was poisonous. I don't have to experience myself. But authorities can mislead. The leading authorities of his day told Columbus that if he sailed too far, he'd sail right off the edge of the world. In the Middle Ages, leading medical authorities literally believed that if you were sick, what was wrong with you is you had evil spirits in your blood. So in the Middle Ages, if you were sick and you went to a doctor, they would cut you somewhere and let some of your blood out, thinking they were letting those evil spirits out, and they thought that was making you better. So leading medical authorities actually believe that. Leading medical authorities can be wrong. You know why? Because they're just human like we are. That's all they are, humans, and they can be wrong. Just 3 years ago, they thought salmonella came from raw eggs. Now they found out salmonella is actually on the egg shell. So they were wrong 3 years ago. So we have to question even leading authorities, except God. God is the only leading authority you can trust. Why? Because he's not human. He is all-knowing. So if he tells you something in the Bible, you know it's true. You never have to question the Bible. All right, what about logic? Can we trust logic? This method relies on the human brain. I know what goes up must come down. Raise your hand if you believe that's always true. All right, good, good. Some people would say that, but what about astronauts in space? When you're out of our atmosphere, what goes up does not have to come down. So that's not always true. All right, raise your hand if you believe death and taxes are the only things guaranteed. One day you're going to die. One day we're all going to die, right? You go along with that? But what if Christ comes back first? If Christ comes back first, he will grab you up, change you an instant to your perfect body, and you will never experience death. So logic does not always lead to the right conclusion, especially if you're sleep deprived. All right, so what can we trust? What about feelings? This method relies on emotions. I just know this is a job God wants for me. It's going to make my life better. It's going to make my children more happy. I can get them more things. But emotions can mislead. What if it takes you away from Bible study, from talking to God, reading his word, talking to him in prayer, coming to church so you can learn through Bible study? If that's the case, that's not the job God wants for you, because the Bible says we have got to make time for Bible study. We have got to make time for prayer. We have got to make time to go to church. If we're not doing those three things, whatever's taking us away from that, God doesn't want it in our life. It's as simple as that. So the only thing we can trust, the Bible. Now there's some things we know we can't trust, like wishing. The wishing method relies on nothing. Wishful thinking. I just know that cute boy was looking at me in third period. I just know it. I know he was. Wishful thinking obviously misleads. You were probably blocking his view of the mirror. And here's our hunk right here. So we know emotions mislead. Wishful thinking misleads. Well, what else misleads us? People who are lying. Sometimes lies can sound like the truth. Like that boy at work. This method relies on our ignorance. He told me, I know evolution is true because I believe in science. So I believed him. I thought that's really why he thought evolution was true, because he believed in science. And I knew he was misled if that was the case, but I thought that's really why he believed in evolution. Lies can be hard to see through, but when they come down to it, if you get past the lie to find the truth, it can be surprising. Like, he finally admitted the reason he believed in evolution was because he did not want to believe in a God that he had to account to. So we have to try to look past a lie. All right. So, what does it mean to know something? Personal experience. A bee stings me, it hurts. But we found out the senses are unreliable. Authority. The Bible. People. Tell us they are experts on things. It's all unreliable except the Bible. You have to question everything except the Bible. All right, logic. We found out that's unreliable. Sometimes something sounds true and it's not true. What about feelings? That's unreliable. Wishful thinking, we know that's unreliable. And finally, lying. Of course we know that's unreliable. So the question is, how can we question people who try to get us to believe something? Do we believe them because they have personal experience? Because they have authority they trust that they quote to us? Because they believe in logic or they're using logic? Are those good reasons to trust in something someone tells us? We've all found out personal experience, authority, and except for the Bible and logic, they're all unreliable. And we also know we're not going to trust their intuition, their wishful thinking, their lying. We know we're not going to trust those. All right, the prehistoric past. People tell us about evolution. What are they using to back themselves up? Is it authority? Is it logic? What are they using? If they're using, there's no personal experience. No one's ever personally experienced evolution. Except an X-Men, and that's only imaginary. There's no eyewitness accounts. So they rely on logic. Now let's work through the logic that they use. Converse isn't logic. We flew through this last time. Okay, to make a converse, you take any sentence that has an if and a then in it. For instance, if I am listening to the pastor of Westside, then I am listening to Pastor David Pearson. To make a converse, you take the two statements and reverse them around. So converse is reverse. If I'm listening to Pastor David Pearson, then I'm listening to the pastor of Westside. And last week, he stuck a picture of me up there. So this week, I am getting him back and sticking a picture of him up there. Isn't he pretty, everybody? All right, so if you have an if and a then statement, they have to work in an if and only if form in order to be absolute truth. And it has to work forward and backward, whether it's the original statement or it's converse, it's reverse. If I'm talking to the tallest man in the room, then I'm talking to Uncle Henry, although he's not here right now. So you have to tell him, Aunt Lulu, he let me down. Does it work in the if and only if form? Okay, this is how you test the statement's truth. I am talking to the tallest man in the room if and only if I'm talking to Uncle Henry. That's true. All right, let's try its converse. I am talking to Uncle Henry if and only if I'm talking to the tallest man in the room. Both are true, so that statement is absolute truth. If he were here tonight right now, he would be the tallest man in the room. All right, let's try. But converses can be false. Let's look at this one. If the statement and its converse cannot be fit in the if and only if form, backward and forward, then it's false. So somebody tells you something, then let's see. Let's see if it works. If I'm talking to one of the shortest women in the room, then I'm talking to Mama Dree. Sounds true, right? All right, let's see if it's an absolute statement. It sounds like truth. Does it fit the if and only if form? I'm talking to one of the shortest women in the room if and only if I'm talking to Mama G. False. Right. It sounded like absolute truth, but it wasn't. Because obviously I'm shorter than Mama G. So you could be talking to me. Let's see. Alyssa's not real tall. You might be talking to Alyssa, although she's taller than me too. No, I think I am the shortest woman in the room. So that was false. All right. So if you're talking to one of the shortest women in the room, you could be talking to me, Miss Crystal, Mama G, Miss Marcia, Miss Becky, even though she's not here either. All right, but this is the improper logic flow. Talking, where? Oh, there she is. Sorry. I had Stacy up there, and I changed it to you. Okay, so improper logic flow. Talking to one of the, if I'm talking to a short woman, I must be talking to Mama G, right? Wrong. Because there are other short women. So you have to make sure it works both ways, backwards and forward. And you got to make sure your smaller statement that relies on the bigger statement isn't taking over the sentence. All right, now here's what evolution does. In school, evolution is taught as truth, as the only truth of how things were created. They started by saying, the universe exists, see, so evolution could be true because the universe is here. That means evolution could be true. Now they teach evolution is true, and that is why the universe is here. They've changed it around. They use its converse now to guarantee that they can always teach evolution whenever they want to. They've used logic improperly. All right, evolution is true if and only if the universe and life exists. That's true. If there was no universe, then there couldn't be evolution. So you can possibly say that statement. It's a possibility if you don't believe in God. Universe exists, so evolution could be true. All right? But we've already seen, is logic ever misleading? Of course it is. If the universe exists and evolution must be true, don't forget about our astronaut. Logic does not always lead to the truth. The if and only if test. Evolution could be true if and only if the universe exists. That's true. If there was no universe, there'd be no evolution. The universe exists, therefore evolution could be true. Now, is that truth? The universe and life could exist if and only if evolution is true. That is wrong, because there are other possibilities. Even evolutionary scientists have got to admit that there's other possibilities, because they have not proven evolution beyond a shadow of a doubt, or none of us would be arguing about it. There's other possible explanations for the universe. Evolutionists have to agree that these could be possible. It could be atheistic evolution. There could be a God, or there could not be a God, and it just all happened by random chance. It might be theistic evolution, an alien or God made it all happen. It might be young Earth, like we say, only 10,000 years old, and God created it just like he said. Might be something else. It might be an old Earth. The Earth's been around for 50,000 years, or 50 million, whatever they say. But they're using logic improperly. They say evolution is looking up at the universe exists, and it says, if you exist, I must be true. Well, that's wrong. Just like when Mama G said, if you're talking to a short woman, you got to be talking to me. That's wrong. There are other possibilities. There are other short women in the room. There are other possibilities for the universe to exist. So if someone comes at you and they say the universe exists, see, evolution is true, you can tell them you're using logic the wrong way. Just because the universe is here, it doesn't mean evolution is true. The universe is here, so evolution is a possibility for what you believe because you don't understand the Bible. For me, I see that the Bible says that God created with his ability to create. He didn't use evolution. So you can come back at them with that. Even if something sounds true, it could be false. Don't forget about our dog we saw last week. It sounds true to say, if an animal is a dog, then it barks. That sounds so true. But it's not, because there's a possibility that it's a Basenji, and Basenjis do not bark. So even if something sounds true, we always have to use our five-finger remembering. Who said they saw it? Can I trust them? What did they say they actually saw? What are they not telling me? How could I test this to see if it's true? And the biggest one for us is, what does God have to say about it? If God says it's not true, or he says something that contradicts it, or he says you should not ever believe this, then we go with what God says. And we always ask, how do they know that? If somebody tells you evolution is true because the fossil record says so, you say, how do you know the fossil record supports evolution? And be ready to keep going with that. How do you know that? Because that will lead them to see that they don't have truth underneath their evolution. Just keep going with that question. How do you know that? All right, now this is a long statement. It's actually from the New York Review. It's a lot of words, but don't worry, I'm going to summarize it for you. All right, we take the side of science. Oh, hold on. In spite of patent absurdity of some of its constructs, in spite of the failure to fulfill many of its extravagant promises of health and life, in spite of the tolerance of the science community for unsubstantiated just-so stories, because we have a prior commitment, a commitment to materialism, it is not the methods and institutions of science somehow compel us to accept a material explanation of the phenomenal world, but on the contrary, that we are forced by our prior adherence to material causes to create an apparatus of investigation and a set of concepts that produce material explanations no matter how counterintuitive, no matter how mystifying to the uninitiated. Moreover, that materialism is an absolute, for we cannot allow a divine foot in the door. What's that all mean? They actually said that. What that means is they are saying we believe in natural processes because we do not want a God. They actually said that in the New York Review. So they admitted, just like that kid that I worked with, the reason they want to believe in natural processes is because they do not want a God. So behind almost every single evolutionist that has dug any length of time, there is that belief. They just do not want a God. All right. Well, who is God? Remember, Mackenzie was asking that in our teen study class. Well, evolutionists will tell you, well, if you believe in a God like you say you do, he has to be invisible. He can only be seen by what he does. He made natural laws, so he's not subject to those laws. He made the law of gravity, so obviously he has to be able to break the law of gravity. He made the law of thermodynamics, everything gets worse. So he has to be better than that. He has to never get worse. He has to be above those laws, so he has to be supernatural. He was before the universe, so he has to be eternal. And they'll sneer in your face and say, you believe in an eternal God? You believe a God that's everywhere at all times? How can you believe in a being that can be everywhere? Influence exists throughout the universe, because how could he hold the universe together if he's not everywhere? Directly or indirectly responsible for everything that has ever happened. Omnipotent. They'll say, you believe in a God that has all kinds of powers? What are you, a Greek that believes in, Zeus, thank you. John a blank. Nobody made him, so he has to be self-existent. You believe in somebody that's always been here? If there is no God, then what? What if there is no God? Then the universe would have to be made by natural processes. And this is them talking to you. They'll say, so just pretend with me that there is no God. The only thing you have left is natural processes. You have to believe in natural processes. We could call it evolution. They might say quantum fluctuation or accident. Or random chance. But it has to be over millions and millions of years that this has happened. Instead of a God, you get millions and millions of years in one of those things right there. Well, let's call their God random chance. And what do we get? All right, our God has to be invisible. Well, random chance has to be invisible. You can't see random chance, only what it does, right? All right, our God has to be supernatural. Well, if random chance created all these natural laws, then it has to be above the natural laws, right? Random chance doesn't have to obey gravity. Random chance doesn't have to get worse over time, like second law of thermodynamics says it does. It just gets better, all right? Our God has to be eternal. Apparently, so does random chance. If it's been here before everything else, it had to be here for eternity as well. Well, random chance makes everything in the whole universe happen, whether it's on Mars or whether it's on Earth. So random chance would have to be omnipresent. What about all-powerful? Random chance is responsible for everything. Then it's us all-powerful as well. All right? Did anybody make random chance? No. It makes itself. So you can say, you know what? You have a God too. You just named it random chance. And your God has to be everything that my God has to be in order to have created the universe. So they have a God as well. Even if they say, I'm an atheist, I don't believe in God. Take them through this and say, okay, random chance is invisible, it's supernatural, it's eternal, omnipresent, omnipotent, self-existent. And you'll say, that is your God. Random chance is your God. There is no possibility that God does not exist. I don't care who you are, you believe in a God. There is no such thing as atheism. All right, now, how to help them see to pick random chance or God. Now, this isn't the best way to lead somebody to Christ, but it will open their mind to the possibility of Christ. This is actually what got me to give Christ a chance when I was in high school. I was 13, and I just wasn't ready to. I thought if you had to become a Christian, then you had to be absolutely perfect. And I was too afraid of that. I didn't think I could be perfect. I didn't think I could hang out with those kids. They were so good all the time. I didn't want to do that. I was having too much fun being me. And all of a sudden it hit me one day. The Bible says that God loved you so much, he gave his only son to die for you. Now, if you believe in the God of the Bible, and you're right, then you get to spend eternity with him. So that's okay. Now, is it coming up there? If you believe in the God of the Bible and you're wrong, it doesn't matter. You'll stop existing anyway, no matter what you believe. But it's proven fact, if you believe in God, that you'll have a longer life, they actually say now. All right, well, if you believe in random chance, and you're right, it doesn't matter anyway. You'll die, and you'll just be proven right. But, number four is the kicker. If you believe in random chance, and you're wrong, you're headed to an eternity in hell. Now, I had to think about that. I was like, if I'm right, then it doesn't matter. If I don't believe in God or not, if I do believe in God, it doesn't matter. I'll get to go to heaven, or if I'm right and I believe in God, I'll go to heaven. But what if I'm wrong? God is right, and I don't believe in him. Do I really want to take that chance? Lay that before them and show them. Do you really want to take that chance? Which step of faith makes more sense? Would you rather take a chance of spending eternity in hell? Like, if you think about that burn you got, everybody raised their hands when they were burnt by something. That burnt hurt a lot, right? On a scale of 1 to 10, it's probably one of the more painful experiences in your life. Well, imagine that burning over eternity. You don't want that, right? Nobody wants that. All over your 100% of your body, and in a place of darkness, burning for eternity, why would you take that chance? And then you share with them the message of life. It's so simple. Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. They don't even have to know that. All they have to know is Jesus Christ offers you eternal life. If you trust him for that life, then you're safe from that place. You're safe and secure in your eternal life. All right, here's my last slide, or second to last slide. All right, all these ideas, they say, yeah, but creation, that rests on the Bible. That's kind of strange. The Bible came from revelation from God, like a supernatural spirit telling people what to write. That's kind of weird. Well, you know what? The sewing machine, some dude had a dream about Indians chasing them that had holes in the top of their spears. And that's where the sewing machine came from. The structure of a molecule called benzene, that came from some guy having a dream about a snake eating its own tail. So that's where that came from. Fiber optics, you know those things that make your computer go faster? Somebody was looking at the ocean and came up with that idea. A self-starting electric motor. You turn, instead of cranking like they used to, you turn a key and it starts. That came because somebody was looking at the sunset and got inspired. Breakthroughs in astronomy. Teflon. They were trying to make a rocket to go up into space, and they were trying to make a coating for it that would not be hurt by the atmosphere. Well, that's where Teflon came from. That's how we have nonstick pans. So it doesn't matter where something starts. All right, so let's look further at our own religion. Where did science come from? Eastern religions, they say the physical universe is a deception. That chair you're sitting in, the pew you're sitting in, the clothes you're wearing, the glasses you're wearing, it's none of it's real. You're just a figment of your own imagination. There is no such thing as objective reality. You make your own reality. Because of this, it's not possible to accurately measure the universe or know anything about it in certainty. There's no absolutes. Well, Western religions, Christianity, everything that calls themselves Christians, we believe the physical universe is real. We believe that there's an objective reality. Reality is reality no matter what you think. And we can know about about physical reality, and we can know things with absolutes. So what comes from the Eastern religions? There's no point in studying nature. What came from Western religions? Scientific method itself. So therefore, if somebody says, well, your Bible came from revelation from God, well, you can say, well, your scientific method came from my religion. So where do you get it from that? Science owes its very existence to Western religion belief. So let's close in prayer, and we'll have some question and answer time if you have any questions about